these should be an outpouring of compassion that Christ does inside of you. He changes your heart towards people, and that's why you go to missions. That's why you serve. That's why you might tithe to your churches, an outpouring of wanting to make differences in the kingdom to honor God.
Mm, that's great. Yeah, I'd agree with that. And again, we get back to, I think in last episode, we talked about what our friend Chuck Lawless said, and he said, you know, go back to the time where you were just first accepting Christ and so excited. And, you know, certainly the sharing of these 6 points with others and memorizing that reminds you of those things. But then also that's the motivation why we share the gospel, right? I mean, we know what Jesus did in our own lives, and we want, it's like having the best gift ever and not sharing it.
Yeah.
Or not telling anyone about it, or, you know, something that's been given to you that you get to give to other people. It should just be out of a motivation of course. I mean, I know what Jesus did in my own life, and I want to share it with others.
We read in Matthew 24, Jesus' words that this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. But Jesus needs you as a Christian to become equipped for this work. Welcome to the Catalytic Podcast, a ministry resource of 1-8 Catalyst. This podcast exists to give you practical and easy to remember tools toward spiritual growth that leads to Great Commission fulfillment. We'll also have interesting interviews of people who have walked the journey towards Great Commission fulfillment, and we'll be able to hear their stories. And now it's time for the Catalytic Podcast. Well, ladies and gentlemen, hi and welcome. Thank you so much for joining us for this, the 15th episode of the Catalytic Podcast. My name is Mike Falkenstein. I am not only your host for today, for this episode, but I'm also the president and founder of an organization, a Christian nonprofit called 1-8 Catalyst. You can learn more about us again at 1-8catalyst.org. We'd love to have you join us, have a look around. And today, I am so happy because I am here again with Ken Wantmore. And Ken, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Are you?
Yeah, looking forward to this episode.
Yeah.
Enjoyed the last episode, and it was just, it's great encouragement to me, and this one. So
that's great.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, yeah. We are so hopeful that for those of you listening, that we're an encouragement to you as you try to figure out what it means to fulfill the Great Commission in your own life. And it's a big topic and it's a big subject. And Ken, I'll just mention, by the way, you know, we've got the podcast, and we know we've got some people listening based on what we're seeing on both our Google Analytics and our iTunes. But I would remind people as well, there's a complimentary blog that I have been doing on the 1-8 Catalyst blog, which you find at 1-8catalyst.org as well. And, you know, we're going through kind of the sharing our testimony, sharing the gospel track in the podcast. And in the blog, I've just started a new series of blog posts, which are, you know, there are actually 5 passages in the that we see in the New Testament that we would include in the Great Commission command, and then breaking each one of those down. And so for people who really want a better understanding of kind of what really is the Great Commission, where does it come from, what did Jesus actually say, of course, you know, that's part of our mobilizing people towards the Great Commission. So it's good to know what Jesus says about these things, isn't it?
Absolutely. It really is. And just apart from that, I would say here's something that I haven't said in any of our episodes prior, but I really feel that these two, this past episode and this one that we're talking about now, are really important. Not to say that you and I get everything right and our dialogue right, but
that's right.
But we do know that as in this episode, as we'll go through, you know, sharing the gospel, this information is accurate and true. It's effective, and it is what we're called to do. And I would encourage people to, you know, would you retweet this? Would you share these two episodes? I'd love for you to share all the episodes, of course. You know, we would love people to listen.
That's right.
But these two in particular, you know, I think that it's so important for people to be reminded of sharing their story and sharing the gospel and how important that is. And I think that last time we talked about how important it is to be able to kind of you know, go back through your own story to know who you were before Christ and to be encouraged in who you are now because of Christ. And then to be able to share the gospel effectively, I think that this episode will be just important information. And I would say, you know, please retweet and share with your friends. Sure, we'd love a lot of followers, but that's not why I'm saying that.
Right.
I just think this is critical information.
Right, right. No, I get your heart behind that, and I agree. It's not for our own sake, right? Yeah. But certainly the past episode, episode 14, and then 15 as well, foundational things.
That's right.
Right. So in this episode, we are going to follow up from what we did last week, which was the sharing your testimony episode, and give some helpful tips. This week, what we're going to do is then get into an actual sharing the gospel presentation, which, as I mentioned last week, Ken, I've had over the years, all the way back from when I was discipled in the kind of the mid-1990s, a presentation of the gospel called the Bridge Illustration. And the Bridge Illustration simply is just a way that you can share the gospel with somebody that hopefully they remember, they can then take that home, because it's actually like a written diagram. Obviously, I'd say at the onset, there are a number of tools that people use to share the gospel, right? There's the one that we call the Roman Road presentation, which actually we have some, we kind of go down the Roman Road ourselves in this presentation. The Ministry of Campus Crusade, now called CRU, has the Four Spiritual Laws little booklet, and God obviously has used that in a lot of people's lives. And so this certainly is not the only way to share the gospel, but it certainly is a way and something that is easy to remember. And so, and Ken, as you and I were talking about last week, these, you know, so we've got six steps that we're going to share in sharing a gospel presentation. These things in the Christian's life should be not only remembered, but memorized. Because I know you and I were talking, I mean, I've got a friend of mine who, as we got talking about, we were actually doing a little Bible study together, and it just became clear that one of the six, he just didn't ever kind of latch on to, and kind of all six of these are important. And so if you've memorized it, you can even just on the fly minister to someone.
Yeah.
I know you've seen that too, haven't you?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. So in sharing the gospel presentation, there are six steps that we normally use. And I'll put in the show notes of this episode all six points as well, so that you all can, if you want to copy it and paste it into another notes program or print it off or whatever you want to do in your effort to memorize these. Of course, the first one, Ken, is that all humans have sinned. And so at very first, we know, according to verses like Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And obviously, we need to know that was our condition initially, right? Mm-hmm. The second one is very close to that, which is there's then a penalty for that sin. And this is the Romans Road part. In Romans 6:23, he writes, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So it's really kind of that first part, right? For the wages of that sin is death. And I know you and I were talking, it's just crucial for people to realize that at first, and that mm-hmm. you know, we're in a condition that we have no way out ourselves.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the third part of the gospel presentation is that then Christ paid the penalty for that sin. And usually in a gospel presentation where you're using the bridge, you have humans on one side of a cliff, God is on the other side, and really then the reason it's called the bridge is that Christ, and so you're drawing a big cross right there in between where man is in our sinful condition and where God is. And only Christ can pay the penalty for that sin. And so in Romans 5:8, it says, but God shows us his love for us in that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. So, Ken, I know as you've shared with people, I mean, those three initial things are important, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. No question. I think that every step is important, but no one will understand where they're at without those first three.
Yeah, that's right. So we have to kind of initially bring that out first, that boy, as humans, the Bible says that we're in a condition where we've sinned, we fall short, and then we go to the fourth point, which is, you know, important for people to know too, right? There's nothing that we can do to earn our salvation on our own. And we know from a number of verses that this is true, including Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And of course, that's a really popular verse. But, you know, usually when we're drawing a bridge illustration, we're talking about how we as humans want to make a bridge of our own to get to God. So we think, well, we're going to be good enough, or we can give enough money away, or we can be kind enough to people. And what we learn from the Bible is that there's nothing that we can do on our own to receive this free gift, that it's only by grace that we've been saved through faith. And so, of course, the faith that we're talking about is faith in Jesus. And so the free gift part, I think, a lot of times is hard for people to comprehend, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it's so simple for a reason, but it is so complicated. I've quoted this before, and I don't know whoever said it.
Right.
But it wasn't me. But the message of salvation is a pool shallow enough for children to play in, yet deep enough to drown an elephant, right?
So
it is tough to understand it. And I think that part of that goes with that idea of God's unconditional love. We can't even fathom what that love looks like, but he gives it to us and allows us to make the choice to accept it. And any other way, it would not be unconditional. Any other way, it would be forced. And it's not. It's there. God's love is there, and his gift is there, and it's our choice, right?
Yeah, that's right. And this is a good point, by the way, just to kind of sit on for a little bit, I think, because this idea of, you know, in Ephesians chapter 2, it says that this gift is a free gift of God, not a result of works. And boy, there's just so many works-based kind of theologies out there.
In there.
I mean, we're not even talking about the things that we would kind of think as somewhat kind of out there, like, you know, Mormons, of course, believe that it's all about works, right? But we're talking about just within, I don't even know if you'd call it evangelical Christianity, but within kind of the larger American Christianity. Boy, you get, and maybe this is an overstatement, but you get into the Deep South, or, I mean, there's some of these places where you get these really strict legalistic, you know, theologies, and that's just so key to understand that this is free. I mean, this is nothing you can do. You can't do enough. You can't be good enough. And so it's, you know, it's, I think it's an important thing to kind of sit on for a bit and emphasize, because both for the non-Christian who thinks that he or she can be good enough, or with the legalistic Christians, you know, there's just not enough we can do, is there?
Yeah, that's true. I had somebody tell me not too long ago that they hate organized religion, and I said, well, I do too, and good news, so does Jesus. Because it turns into a mission of works. It turns into personal accolades and, kind of that I'm building my own ladder sort of idea. I mean, organized religion puts a kink in the chain of what is so simple, right? That these steps we just went through, especially in this number four, as we rest for a minute, right? That there's nothing we can do to earn this salvation on our own. God said that in his word. He meant it. He didn't make a mistake. It is not about us.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, well, this is a good time for us to take a little break, let our friend Tim Mueller come in and say a few words to us. We're so thankful for him and his heart for what we're doing here at the podcast. And so thanks everyone for joining us, and we'll be right back.
At 1-8 Catalyst, we have a deep heart to create resources to help you find great commission fulfillment. Our latest book resource is titled What You Do Shows Who You Are, a book on the 6 marks of a disciple of Jesus. We believe that this book is a great way for you to grow spiritually and then take that growth and share it with others. Intended to be a small group or Sunday school class study, we believe that spiritual growth happens best as you work through each of the 6 marks with a group of other believers. Be sure to get a copy for each of the folks in your small group today. Available on Amazon.com.
Well, Ken, we're having a fantastic conversation about how to kind of share the gospel, and really what we're doing is going through point by point how we do that. And again, I would just take this time as we're reconvening after hearing from our friend Tom, that these 6 points are something that I would highly, I mean, anyone that I'm discipling, anyone that I'm in Bible study with, even anyone that I'm friends with who's a Christian. And so I would say to them, learn these 6 points, know them, because part of it is, if there's any of these 6 points that you have trouble with or you don't understand in your own life, you need to know, dear friend, dear Christian, that, you know, all 6 are important to understand and believe, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just easy for us to, like we were just talking about the free gift part. We may believe every other one, but if you don't have that, you know, you're not exactly where God wants you to be.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I would encourage all of you listeners to just remember all 6 of these. Again, we'll put all 6 in the show notes and be able to, you know, print these out, memorize them. And I would say, by the way, that, you know, we're going through a very basic presentation. Of course, make it your own, as long as it covers all 6 of these. You know, you can make it your own. And again, as we talked about in the last episode, write in the way that you speak, which in this case is good, because, you know, if you talk about Ephesians 2:8-9, relate that to your own life, or, you know, however you want to do it. So Ken, in our gospel presentation, where we've gone through, all humans have sinned, there is a penalty for that sin, Christ paid that penalty, and then there is nothing we can do to earn this salvation on our own, this saving on our own. And then we get to point number 5, which is, once we understand our need for Jesus, we must receive him as Lord and Savior. And my favorite verse to talk about in that and to memorize is John 1:12, which states, "But to all who did receive him, to who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." And so what we're looking for, what Jesus tells us, is that we receive Jesus, that we believe in his name. And that's kind of the first, that's kind of the next step. And kind of like in what we talked about the last episode, it's really at this point when you're actually getting to that point in your own life to receive and believe in his name, where God really does a work in your life to kind of open your eyes to this, isn't it?
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true.
Yeah. And so there's the point where we get to, okay, I wasn't with Jesus, and now I understand who he is, and we receive him as Lord and Savior. And then finally, point number 6, once we receive Jesus as Lord and believe in his name, we have assurance of our salvation through the promises we see in the Bible. And so, of course, this is important to bring out to people, because, you know, there's, of course, one thing to understand that Jesus came to die for your sins and that he wants a relationship, but then it's a whole nother thing to say, boy, once you make that decision, dear friend, you have assurance of your eternity with Jesus through the promises. And the verse I like to use, we can use several of them, but John 5:24 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." And so I'll often kind of make a note as I'm sharing this with people about going from death to life, which if they've heard my testimony, that's kind of similar, right? It was before Jesus and after Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, there was sort of, and what we're talking about here is kind of an eternal kind of separation from, you know, from Jesus, being that kind of that spiritual death, passed from death to kind of an eternity with Jesus. And, you know, that's really the good news part of this, isn't it, Ken?
Yeah, it sure is. That's right. You know, and I just, I'm sitting here as we share this, I think that every time you share the gospel, it's a good reminder. Maybe there's somebody that's listening that has not accepted Christ. And I just want to tell you, as you know, and maybe you replay this and kind of listen back to this, that
yes.
God is actively pursuing you.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He has been actively pursuing his people since the day he put people on the earth, right? I mean,
that's right.
He's been involved and is involved in everything that's happening. He loves you and is saying to you that he wants you. If you were running from God, every minute that you turned around, every single time that you turned around, God would be right there. It doesn't matter how far you run. It doesn't matter how hard you run or fast. God is always right there waiting for you to turn to him, because he wants you back. He wants me in a relationship with him. And that's why Jesus, that's why he sent his son. That's why God became flesh himself, so that we could relate to somebody, that we could see him. You know, whoever has seen Christ has seen the Father. He is, mm-hmm. He has made himself known to you. And through things like this, I think anytime you hear the gospel presentation, even as we're in kind of a study mode here, right?
Right.
Somebody out there may be, move to that, and I'm telling you, God is pursuing you, and he wants you to turn to him and follow these six steps, and ultimately believe in Christ. Turn your life to him and receive this free gift of salvation, and you will be made new.
Amen. Amen. And that's really true. Kind of to follow up with that, Ken, I would also say, I mean, that's a great challenge for the non-believer, someone who's seeking Jesus, trying to figure out kind of who he is. I would say to the believer listening today to maybe just take an account of your life, your commitment to Jesus, and in particular, you know, if you've never shared your own testimony and your own this gospel presentation with anyone, on one hand, this is not a, you know, we're going to get down on you session. But it should be a neat encouragement to say, it is what Jesus wants you to do. We know through the five passages of the Great Commission, which you'll find on my blog, you know, over and over, Jesus is saying, go to all the world and proclaim the gospel. Go and make disciples of all nations. You know, Acts 1:8, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then there's all the other passages. I mean, there's, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff in 1 Timothy to be prepared in season and out of season to tell the reason for the hope that you have in Christ, and mm-hmm. to be well prepared to share the reason for the hope that you have. And I mean, just over and over again, I mean, it's just clear that if you are a believer in Jesus, this just should be a regular part of your life. And so what we'll do in the next several episodes, Ken, is to kind of follow up with that and to be able to say, okay, we have how to share the testimony, our testimony, how to share the gospel. But then it leads to those very things, right? So someone that goes, all right, I get it, but man, it's scary, or it seems dangerous to me, or I could lose my job, I think, or, you know, I could, you know, I don't know how do I just walk over to a neighbor's house? And, you know, so we'll give some suggestions on kind of how to do that, and some first steps. And I'm hopeful to have some other people come in and help us with that as well. People have already done this even better than what you and I have done. So I hope this series is an encouragement to you all who are listening. And we're so thankful that you're with us. Ken, before we go, any last thoughts from you?
Just two thoughts. Like I'm not going to have last thoughts, right?
Yeah.
Of course I am. Well, first, I would say this. As far as sharing your story and then sharing the gospel, you know, every one of us as a Christian man or woman, men, you should have a strong brother in Christ. Women, you should have a strong sister in Christ. Maybe it's one person, maybe it's a multitude. A blessing to you either way. But have the one person that you're closest to say and call them and say, hey, you know what? I want to, can you sit down with me so I can just kind of share my story with you, even if you've heard it before, just to, it's not a bad idea to
kind of
sit in front of somebody who knows you, mm-hmm. who you're not embarrassed to tell things to. You'll get a comfort that God really is using your story in a lot of different ways, and there's no reason to not share your experiences. And that would go, again, a brother with a brother, a sister with a sister, share that. And then share the gospel. Together, you should bounce it off of each other. Go through these steps and share the gospel with each other. Practice, because it is so important that you do this. And then finally, what I wanted to say too is that, in these podcasts, we're
yes.
always talking about missions, right? And I think a lot of people who are believers, but certainly non-believers kind of get, I'm afraid to go do this or that. I'm not ready to go serve. I'm not ready to give money to the church. I'm not ready to all those, these are things that you do as a result. It's an outpouring of compassion and kindness and love that only Christ can give you for humanity, that you do these things. And if you're doing it for any other reason, then we go back to, step four, right? That we're practicing that idea of works to
yes.
attain salvation, or even when we've been saved, we're practicing works to attain a status, and all that is great. There are rewards in heaven, certainly, but these should be an outpouring of compassion that Christ does inside of you. He changes your heart towards people, and that's why you go to missions. That's why you serve. That's why you might tithe to your churches. An outpouring of wanting to make differences in the kingdom to honor God.
Mm, that's great. Yeah, I'd agree with that. And, again, we get back to, I think in last episode, we talked about what our friend Chuck Lawless said, and he said, go back to the time where you were just first accepting Christ and so excited, and certainly the sharing of these 6 points with others and memorizing that reminds you of those things, but then also that's the motivation why we share the gospel, right? I mean, we know what Jesus did in our own lives, and we want, it's like having the best gift ever and not sharing it.
Yeah.
Or not telling anyone about it, or something that's been given to you that you get to give to other people. It should just be out of a motivation of course. I mean, I know what Jesus did in my own life, and I want to share it with others, right? So mm-hmm. going back to that original time, I think is good. So, well, thanks to everyone for joining us. We're so thrilled that you're here. Again, as Ken mentioned at the beginning of this episode, please share this episode with others. If you feel led, we'd love to share this with others and get more people motivated and mobilized towards the Great Commission. I'm here at Missions Mike on Twitter. You can get in touch with me or Ken's at Ken Watmore. And here at 1-8 Catalyst, we just really want to create resources like this podcast that enables Christians to find Great Commission fulfillment, enables Christians to reach their world for Christ. Obviously, knowing how to share share the gospel is, I think, an important part of that. And so, if you've not listened to previous episodes, go back to 1-8catalyst.org/podcast and listen to episodes. These interview episodes we've done in particular, I'm just really enjoying them, and I think you will too. And so may I encourage you, the listener, to go back and listen to previous episodes. Obviously, we want to continue to hear from folks. If you'd go to our request line and leave us a voicemail, we'd love to hear from you. 303-335-9658. And yeah, we'd love to hear from you. And I really appreciate you being with us. And we'll look forward to having you with us for the next episode of the Catalytic Podcast. Thank you for joining me for the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. For more information, be sure to visit our website at 1-8catalyst.org. And never forget, the Great Commission is a command that Jesus gave you as a Christian to obey. I'll be praying for you that you find your part in it. See you next time.